Orange Bowl week is finally here. Tennessee and Clemson set to get going Friday at 8 o'clock. We'll answer your questions and more here on this Twitter Tuesday, Locked On Vols.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into it. This is Locked On Vols. I'm your host, Eric Kane, at underscore Kaner on Twitter, at Locked On Vols. Really appreciate you guys for tuning in each and every single day with me. I took Monday off and put out a pre-recorded Locked On Today show. Hope you guys enjoyed that. But we're back and ready to rock and roll. We'll have football this week. Tennessee football is back in action, taking on a good team in Clemson. And we'll look forward to breaking down all the Clemson Tigers and everything that is involved with this football game that is coming up as the week progresses. If you're watching on YouTube, thank you so much. Please continue to subscribe. We fell just short of our 6K by Christmas Day goal, but we're not far away, less than 40, I believe. So 6K by New Year's Day is now the new slogan. Let's go ahead and get into it. Also, for this entire week, I'm recording and doing this from an Airbnb, so Wi-Fi is not the best. So if you're watching on YouTube, it's a little glitchy. I do apologize, but the audio should be pretty good in that regard as well. So anyway, let's get down to business. This is Locked On Vols. Can't thank you enough. And I was at practice on Monday morning, the first practice on site for Tennessee as it transitioned down to the Fort Lauderdale area just outside of Miami. And they already had tons and tons of practices. I say tons and tons, about 8 or 9 practices on campus back in Knoxville. But they broke for the Christmas holiday on Thursday, and then they reconvened on Christmas Day and came down to Miami or flew straight to Miami, whatever the case may be. And they got to practice for the first time here on site. Now, it is on a Monday, at least. It was wet. It was rainy. It did not feel like Miami weather. Temperatures were in the mid-50s. As the week goes on and we get into day, it's supposed to be 10 degrees warmer than what it was yesterday. And then ultimately, it's going to be dry on Wednesday and Thursday, and then the rain might creep back in on Friday. And it might be, you know, around 70, high 70s, but rainy on Friday. So, but right now, you know, I know we love East Tennessee. And for those of you guys that are listening and watching from East Tennessee, it's freaking cold there. I mean, it was 5 degrees Friday night. It was so cold this weekend. And he came down to Miami, Florida, and it was just mid-50s and it was raining. It was kind of less than ideal. But nonetheless, Tennessee got down the practice field. It was muggy. It was wet. All that type of stuff, but they were out there. Energy was good on Monday morning. I think everybody's excited to be there. And you know, Josh Heupel was breaking down saying, hey, you practice, you win the day, you win the Orange Bowl. And I think everybody was excited to be there. It was the first time I got to lay eyes on some of these early enrollee freshmen who were in, okay? Because the only other time we got to view practice during this kind of bowl preparation was last Saturday. It was my wedding day, so I was unable to go and check them out. But getting to see Nico Iamaleava, getting to see Nathan Laycock, getting to see some of these other guys who were up there practicing in Jersey for the first time. That was pretty cool. It was really, really cool to see. So saw some different players out there and, but also saw, you know, some of those players who were going to be playing on Friday against Clemson, and they were getting the repetitions and they're getting good. We didn't get to see any of the quarterbacks throw on Monday, unfortunately. The rainy conditions maybe had something to do with there. Of course, we were only out there for 15 to 20 minutes. But typically, even during those viewing periods, we get to see routes on air, and we didn't get to see any of that. Instead, there was more special teams work, more individual work, and stuff like that. So I didn't get to see Joe Milton throw, didn't get to see Nico throw, didn't get to see any of that. But nonetheless, I did get to see them back out on the practice field. There were a lot of red jerseys, tons of red jerseys. Red means non-contact, and that's pretty typical, though, for a football season. Don't get me wrong. I mean, you've got – and we're not out there to kind of see throughout the season because we don't get to watch practice past fall camp. But that's pretty much typical as the season goes on. There's nobody that's healthy as the season goes on. Nobody's full strength. Everybody's got some type of ailment, right? But there were tons of red non-contact jerseys. I mean, start with the running backs. Jabari Small, red non-contact. You had Jalen Wright, red non-contact. You had Brew McCoy, red non-contact. Chaz Nimrod, red non-contact. All the quarterbacks were in red non-contact jerseys because that's typical. That's protocol. On defense, yet from those that I saw, I'm sure there might have been a couple more, but you had Danico Slaughter, red non-contact. You had Kamal Haddon was not in one. Christian Charles was in red non-contact. Deshaun Rucker was in red non-contact. Did not see Kamal Haddon was in his normal orange jersey, and some of those other guys. And so those were some of the bigger ones in terms of who was out there, how much were they doing, were they limited? Typically, if you're in a red non-contact, you can go through everything, but it's out of precautionary, and you don't want to take any unnecessary hits. So maybe you'll sit out some 11-on-11 team stuff, but pretty much you're out there and ready to roll. Jeremy Banks was not out there. It was Christmas Eve, about 11:35 p.m. Eastern time, and Jeremy Banks decides to make his social media announcement that he's not playing in the Orange Bowl. Again, speculated for quite some time. I've pretty much said it without saying it for the past couple of weeks. Jeremy Banks was not going to be a part of this team in terms of postseason play. Wish the best to him. He will be playing in the East-West Shrine Bowl game. Wish the best to him. Hopefully he performs well there, does well on his pro day. I doubt he gets a combine invitation, but as he pursues his dreams of playing in the NFL, best of luck to him. I think he's a good player. I do think he's a good player, but there was a lot going on with him. He will not be with Tennessee for the Orange Bowl, and so Tennessee will have to absorb those snaps with Juwan Mitchell and Aaron Beasley, and I guess Solon Page a little bit there. So that is some big news, and that came out at, again, 11:35 p.m. on Christmas Eve night. Just annoying. Like, I mean, if you're in this profession, you have the story already written, but, like, it's just annoying, right? Nobody wants to be at your computer at 11:35 p.m. on Christmas Eve night. Yeah, so that was a little annoying, but nonetheless, everything was okay. Jeremy Banks was not out there, but again, it was a good little workout. I mean, you had the team back out there practicing all together, and coaches staff was flying around. There's hardly any tight ends there, man. I mean, Miles Campbell entered the transfer portal. You had some other tight ends who have been hurt, but you had Princeton Fant, you had Jacob Warren, then you had Hunter Salmon, and those are the three tight ends that were out there. I mean, it was, and again, Alex Golish is gone. He's at South Florida now. So you had a GA coaching that position group, but it just looked really, really weird not seeing a lot of guys in that group. So, but practice was good. Looked like it went really, really well. They were going to practice again today. Defensive players and defensive coordinator Tim Banks will meet with the media early this morning at 8 o'clock Eastern time. Then they will practice. Then they will do some type of team outing on Wednesday at 9 o'clock. Same for the offensive coach, or same for the offensive skill, about four or five of those guys, along with quarterbacks coach Joey Halsey. They'll speak with the media, then they'll practice, and then they'll do some type of team outing. On Thursday, there's going to be a joint press conference with Dabo Swinney and Josh Heupel. And then Friday's game time. So Tennessee will practice Monday. We'll practice today, tomorrow, Thursday, and then it is game time at 8 o'clock Eastern time, ESPN, for the Orange Bowl, Tennessee and Clemson. Number 6 Tennessee, number 7 Clemson. And we'll continue to break down the Tigers. We'll give you more of a refresher course on who's out there and all that type of stuff as the week goes on. So when we come back, though, I want to answer your questions. It is a Twitter Tuesday edition of Locked On Vols, so I want to answer your questions. That is what you have to look forward to when Locked On Vols returns right here on a Tuesday. But first, I'll remind you guys about one of our proud sponsors of this show, and it's LinkedIn Jobs. You know, every single potential new hire can feel like a high-stakes wager for you and your small business. You want to make the absolute right decision in who you want to hire, because, again, you're protecting your baby, essentially, and that's why you want to be 100% certain that you have all the access and tools and resources to make that hire. So I encourage you to use LinkedIn Jobs. Help you find the right people that for your team faster and for free. Post your job, add the purple hashtag hiring frame to your job to spread the word that you are hiring. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience, so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and then ultimately hire. It's why small businesses rank LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster and for free. Go ahead and post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedoncollege. That's linkedin.com/lockedoncollege to post your job for free. Terms and conditions do apply. Hey, everybody. Welcome back into it. Your Tuesday edition of Locked On Vols. And I'm your host, Eric Kane. Time to answer your questions. A little Twitter Tuesday edition of the show. It's when you guys can take over the show. Any questions you may have every single Tuesday right here on the show, just DM me or tweet me or find me on Instagram, wherever you guys want to find me. You guys can do that for the Mailbag Show each and every week. So First, let's start with Taylor. Taylor wants to know, for the Vols to beat Clemson, what position group will have to be great? That's a really good question. And obviously, you know, you can point it to a number of position groups that need to be playing well. I mean, Joe Milton needs to play well. I think for Joe to play well, he's got to have confidence in his run game. You know, the run game is the quarterback's best friend. So, you know, can Jabari Small and Jalen Wright and Dylan Sampson kind of help out Joe Milton? And for that to happen, you got to have the offensive line having a good day in front of those guys. They got to block like the Joe Moore Award finalists that they were, one of the top five offensive linemen in the entire country. So quarterback, but you want running back. And of course, have that. You got to have your receiver or your offensive line. Defense, you got to stop somebody, right? Kate Klubnik, he's getting the start for Clemson. So can he, you know, spark anything? How bad was North Carolina's defense? Is Tennessee's defense worse? Is that why Kate Klubnik looked better? The secondaries need to have a good day. Got to get out to the passer. I mean, I'm just talking in circles here, right? In my opinion, I think the running backs need to have a great day because, again, you are helping your backup quarterback in Joe Milton. Joe Milton needs to be confident. Joe Milton needs to be able to make those throws on third downs. Joe Milton needs to be feeling him some Joe Milton. I think in order for that to happen, your run game needs to be spot on. So my answer would be the running backs. But again, there's a number of different ways that you can kind of answer this question, just kind of depending on who you ask or what you value more. Jason says, who takes Jeremy Banks' spot? And not just the position, but who's going to lead the defense? Who will be the snarling dog over there in the middle? Seriously, I mean, if South Carolina game was any indication of what our defense looks like without Banks, and we have a legit concern. Aaron Beasley seems to be a quiet workhorse. He's been an amazing linebacker who's made a lot of plays, but who can really rally the defense like Banks? Jason, appreciate the question, man. I've touched on this a few times, and I'm not talking directly at you. I'm just talking about the whole Jeremy Banks thing. Is he a good player? 100%. If he played against South Carolina, would Tennessee have won? No. Tennessee lost by 25 points because Tennessee sucked against South Carolina. And Jason, I know that's not what you're saying. I'm just pointing out here. Because Tennessee sucked in that game. Tennessee sucked against South Carolina. One player would not have made up 25 points on defense. Never. Now, I agree with you. I mean, he is a lightning rod out there. He is an emotional type guy. And again, I mean this with all respect, with no disrespect intended. I don't think I'd call him a leader of any sense on the defense. Emotional, vocal, leader by example, none of that. He's a fiery guy. He plays with a chip on his shoulder. He is a good football player. But I don't think Tennessee relies on his fire to get them ready to go, if that makes sense. That's just my opinion, and that's just from being around the program. But you want him out there. You obviously want him out there more than you don't want him out there. Tennessee will miss him in the Orange Bowl. Don't get me wrong. But it's just Juwan Mitchell and Aaron Beasley's got to saddle up. They got to go. Can Byron Young, you know, kind of lead the troops here? Can some of those safeties, you know, Trayvon Flowers, I know that's the answer you guys don't want to hear, but can – in your last game ever, can you be the emotional leader? I mean, I think a lot of those guys have done that all season long, right? And you know, Tyler Barron and some of these other guys, Jalen McCullough. I mean, those have been the leaders. Amari Thomas is a big one. Those have been the leaders for this team on defense, and they're going to have to continue to because again, Banks is a good player, and he's not going to be in this football game. Oh, let's go to Morgan. Who goes in as backup quarterback if Joe has to come out for a play or two with helmet issues? That would be Gaston Moore, walk-on quarterback. Started his career at UCF. Came up to Tennessee when Josh Heupel came up to Tennessee. Gaston Moore is your backup quarterback right now. Taven Jackson's been back at practice, but he's not 100% healed. Nico Emaliava is ineligible to play in this game, obviously. And Hendon Hooker's hurt. So Gaston Moore would be your backup quarterback. Navy Shuler would be third string. Let's go to Kurtz. Who can do the most for themselves for the next year with a performance in the Orange Bowl? It's interesting. I had this discussion with some of the guys with VolQuest who I work for. There's no evidence that says that, you know, anything in a bowl game is like a springboard or I was making sure you didn't use that term because I didn't want you to think I was making fun of you. A springboard or, you know, motivation into next year or all that type of stuff. Now, it can't hurt. I'm not trying to say it doesn't do anything or it can't hurt you whatsoever. But, I mean, Tennessee got outscored by an offense with backup players all over the course or all over the place with Purdue last year in the Music City Bowl. and Tennessee went on to win 10 games this year. You know what I'm saying? Like just because you find a way to win a bowl game doesn't mean you're going to be good next year. Or just because you get embarrassed in a bowl game doesn't mean you're going to be bad next year. Just because you come in and you get those 15 extra practices or whatever the case may be for bowl practices, that doesn't mean that it's going to help you next year if you're an early enrollee. Justin Williams-Thomas, Jordan Phillips, both in the transfer portal. There's just too much unknowns, right? It doesn't hurt you, and I'm for it. Don't get me wrong, but I'm just saying, like, there's no guarantees. So, but you want to be feeling good about yourself going into the offseason, no doubt about it. So, Joe Milton, I mean, heck, Joe Milton wants to play well. Joe Milton wants to be feeling some confidence heading into the offseason. I think Joe can really help himself out and help out some naysayers from, you know, the outside noise in terms of saying, well, Joe can't hit the long ball or Joe can't lead this offense. I think he could really help himself out an awful, awful lot. Some of these guys in the secondary, I guess. I mean, a lot of, and we'll continue to break down the roster and what it might look like and position groups and everything moving forward. But we still just have no clue about the secondary. Who's going to be where? What positions are they going to be playing? What are they going to be bringing to the table? Who's going to be back there playing? I mean, it's going to be a lot of these same guys. You know, Denico Slaughter, Christian Charles, Brandon Turnage, Kamal Haddon, Jalen McCullough, Trayvon Flowers, Wesley Walker. What can you bring? You know, what can you do? I mean, all those guys except for one is going to be back next year at this point in time. You need to take some strides here. You do, because what's going on this year, and though there's been some individual progress for some of you, it's not been great as a whole. And so I would say the secondary for sure, but also Joe Milton, no doubt about that. We'll continue to move on here. Let's go to Sam Smith. Most likely Tennessee media member to get arrested for public intoxication on South Beach this week. That's funny. I didn't read that before. I would have left that one out. I don't know. None of us, of course. Hopefully nobody. Nobody at all. It'll be fun, though. Sometimes whenever you get a bunch of media conglomerates together and you see somebody out, it can get pretty fun. Some of my best memories as far as being in the media come from hanging out with people outside of a work setting. So that's a whole lot of fun. That's what these trips are truly all about, in my opinion, outside of doing the work you went there for. Last one goes to Sawyer. Outside of Joe Milton, what player can benefit the most from a strong showing in the Orange Bowl? Yeah, it's kind of just the question I just answered on the other side. Members of the secondary, Joe, some of these young offensive linemen. Now, they're not going to play, but like, I guess I should rephrase that. Like, a spring would be huge for Addison Nichols, be huge for Masai Reddick, be huge for some of these other guys. But as far as the Orange Bowl per se, I think it's Joe, and I think it's those guys in the secondary. All right, guys, appreciate you for getting your questions in. Not as many questions here today and this day. It's been hectic, guys. I mean, with the holiday, traveling, trying to deal with these Wi-Fi issues. Again, if you're watching this on YouTube and it's in and out glitchy, I do apologize. It's the best we can do for this week, but we're going to make it work. When we come back, we'll take a look at the wide receiver room. What's that going to look like in 2023? That and more coming up here in just a moment. But first, a message from the NHTSA. If you're hanging out with some of your friends, putting back a few drinks, a few becomes too many. As the evening comes to an end and people start to head out, you think about calling for a ride. But nah, you live nearby. You can make it home okay. It's really no big deal, right? What are the odds you're going to get pulled over anyway? And even so, what's the worst that can happen? Your insurance goes up, you lose your license, you lose your job, you total your car. Everyone knows about the risk of driving drunk. The results are tragic and often deadly. However, that still doesn't stop anyone from getting behind the wheel while under the influence. That's why police officers are out there right now looking for impaired drivers on the roads, and it's to save lives. So if you think you're okay to drive after a few drinks, think again. Play it safe. Plan ahead, get a ride. It only takes one mistake to change your life forever, or someone else's life forever. Drive sober or get pulled over. All right, guys, one more segment left here of this Tuesday edition of Locked On Vols. Appreciate you guys for hanging out with us here today, and I hope everybody had just the best Christmas. Merry Christmas. And of course, we got this week, then we got New Year's, and we got 2023. Big plans for 2023, both professionally, personally. And I hope you guys do as well. And it's truly a blessing and an honor to talk to you guys every single day on this podcast. I'm very, very thankful. All right, last segment here for a Tuesday. 2023 position look ahead. We're going to take a look ahead at the wide receivers for Tennessee and position coach Kelsey Pope in 2023. Obviously, the big thing is who's gone. Well, that's Jalin Hyatt, the Biletnikoff Award winner. That is Cedric Tillman, the 1,000-yard receiver in 2021. I mean, those are two ginormous holes to fill, but really, you've only been playing with one of them each of the past two seasons. Last year in 2021, it was Cedric Tillman. Jalin Hyatt was on the bench. This year, Cedric Tillman was often out of the lineup because he missed half the season with an injury, and it was Jalin Hyatt's show, and he, you know, went through and he killed it. And congratulations to him. Biletnikoff Award winner. He is not playing in the Orange Bowl. That stinks, but he is foregoing a senior campaign because he has an opportunity to go and make millions and millions and millions of dollars, and good for him. I think I speak for everybody here where you're rooting for him, but man, what could have been if you came back for another year, right? But you can't fault him for doing that. So he's gone. Cedric Tillman is gone. Those are massive, massive departures. Massive departures. Again, the numbers for Jalin Hyatt this year: over 1,200 yards receiving, 15 receiving touchdowns that led the nation. Cedric Tillman, he had a 2021 campaign of over 1,000 yards, 10 touchdowns. He still had almost 40 receptions playing six games in 2022. That's pretty incredible as well. So those guys are off the books. Who else are off the books? Well, a couple of Jimmys, Jimmy Holiday and Jimmy Callaway. Two athletes came in here in terms of athletes back in the recruiting class of 2020. Both these guys played quarterback in high school. Both these guys played wide receiver at the University of Tennessee. One being Callaway, got chance after chance after chance and just could never figure it out. The other, Holiday, didn't really do a whole lot in terms of receiver here, but he was a kick returner for Tennessee. Both of those guys have hit the transfer portal. Now, who does Tennessee bring back? Well, you say goodbye to two really productive guys. You are bringing back, though, Brew McCoy, who I think can just continue to grow and be an absolute stud in this offense. It took him a little while. I even asked him this in a press conference setting. It kind of took him a little while to get his bearings under him and kind of figure some things out this year. But once he got used to the, quote, unorthodox offense of Tennessee, he became to love it, got really, really good at it. And Tennessee's going to need him to be an absolute stud next year, no doubt about it. Brew McCoy does come back. He was second on the team with 48 receptions, 619 yards, and three touchdowns this season. I think the more Hendon Hooker began to trust Brew McCoy, the more Brew became more involved in this offense. It was good to see. So that's a big one you're bringing back. You're also bringing back Ramel Keaton, who, again, we all kind of wrote off here, and he played a big, big role for Tennessee this year. Stepped up in the absence of Cedric Tillman and performed well. I mean, he's never going to be a guy that's going to get you 1,000 yards receiving. He's never going to catch, you know, 10, 12 balls in a game. But he's going to be steady Eddie for you. He's going to make the catch and make some yards after catch for you, which I was really surprised with. So, Ramel Keaton, what a great year. It's good to have him back if you're Tennessee for the 2023 season. Squirrel White's coming back as well. Squirrel White got the, you know, played an awful lot this season, and he's getting the start this Friday in the Orange Bowl, of course, in the slot position. Put on about 10 pounds since coming here to Tennessee. I think he needs to continue to put on some more weight as well. But Squirrel White, the speedster in the slot, Tennessee will welcome him back for next year, which is really, really good. And you got some other guys who I think can play as well, but didn't see an awful lot of playing time this season. You've got Walker Merrill, who did have three receiving touchdowns this year, but all of mop-up duty. Chaz Nimrod, who the coaching staff really, really likes. He's going to be an outside receiver. He is an outside receiver. And Caleb Webb, a guy that Tennessee brought in at the wide receiver position in the class of 2022. I like all those guys. Wouldn't shock me if some of those guys decided to enter the transfer portal. Not all those guys, but, you know, we'll see what happens. There will be some more movement once the bowl game is over. I think we'd be naive to think that there wouldn't be, right? But all those guys are still on the roster. I think the staff really does like Chaz Nimrod an awful lot as well. So that's who's coming back. You're bringing back Brew McCoy, Ramel Keaton, bringing back Squirrel White. You're bringing back Caleb Webb, Chaz Nimrod, Walker Merrill as of now. Who are you saying goodbye to? We're saying goodbye to Jalin Hyatt, 2022 Biletnikoff Award winner, Cedric Tillman, 1,000-yard receiver in 2021, and two Jimmys, Jimmy Holiday and Jimmy Callaway, who is now going to be an early enrollee for Tennessee and who signed in the month of December. Well, Tennessee brought in two true wide receivers, signed them back on December the 21st, last week, and Nathan Laycock, who is here practicing on-site, bowl preparations, all that good stuff, and Nate Spillman. Tennessee is also bringing in Cameron Seldon, who We'll play a little bit of running back, play a little bit of wide receiver, and our position look ahead for the running back position. We talked about Cameron Seldon a lot. He rushed for 551 yards and 11 touchdowns as a senior. As a receiver, he had 365 yards, 5 touchdowns, 18 receptions. He's a skilled kick returner as well. So Cam Seldon's a guy that you just want the ball in his hands, and potentially he can line up at receiver as well. But Nathan Laycock, I think, was the best eval for this class of 2023. He chose Tennessee over Texas and a couple other schools, but he wasn't high on the radar. He had a massive, massive senior campaign, and everybody knows him now. He's almost a consensus top 100 prospect in the entire country, and he's here on practice. He already looks the part in pads. Saw him on Monday morning. He's a guy that I think is going to play well for Tennessee. So who's coming in? Nathan Laycock, Nate Spillman of Lipscomb Academy, the older brother of Tennessee target for the class of 2024, edge rusher linebacker Edwin Spillman, and then, of course, Cameron Seldon. Who's gone? Jimmy Callaway, Jimmy Holiday, Cedric Tillman, and Jalen Hyatt. And who's coming back? Brew McCoy, Ramel Keaton, Squirrel White, Walker Merrill, Chaz Nimrod, and Caleb Webb. And that is what your wide receiver position looks like if we project ahead to 2023. Continuing to look ahead at certain positions for the Tennessee football team as the days go on, we continue to look at these positions. I'm going to try not to double up. I need to start writing down which ones we've done because we need to get them all. But nonetheless, Tennessee looking to stay consistent. Maybe not 10 wins. It'd be good. Maybe not 10 wins, but stay consistent in 2023, just like it was in 2022. All right, that's going to do it here for this edition of Locked On Vols, your Tuesday edition. It is closed in the books. It is over. Tomorrow on Ward Wednesday, we'll try our best to catch up with Josh Ward. It's going to be difficult here with me on the road, but I'm going to try our best to catch up with Josh Ward. We'll continue to bring you everything we know about Tennessee down here in Fort Lauderdale / Miami, getting ready for the Orange Bowl against Clemson. News and notes from practice, all that and more, that is coming up on your Wednesday show. Thank you, as always, for making Locked On Vols your first listen each and every day. Now for your second listen, check out Locked On Sports Today, biggest stories in the world of sports, the take of the day, all that and more, that is Locked On Sports Today, right behind Locked On Vols your first listen each and every day. Guys, I appreciate it, as always, for making Locked On Vols your morning stop each and every day. We'll do it again tomorrow, same time, same place. This is Locked On Vols.